Biohazard, the report.
For tuning in for yet another episode of Opinions Based on Horror Video Games. I'm your host, Celise.
And I'm Thea.
And this week we're covering Resident Evil Damnation. Right?
That's the
This one is for real damnation. I keep getting it and degeneration mixed up because it's stupid.
They mean the same thing, basically.
Yes, but
same word.
This movie is so much better. It's very important for this episode that we put the big body horror warning on this.
Mm-hmm.
There is much blood, guts, removal of limbs, heads exploding. There's a lot of gore in this one.
This
don't know
heavy
how.
On it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how much we're going to like talk about it or go into detail, but it's pretty bloody. So just keep a heads up for that one. Okay, so I want to put this out by saying that I just recently finished watching this movie, and I loved this one the most out of all the movies we've watched so far.
That's so funny, because I did not enjoy it.
Really?
Yeah, I thought the last one was better.
So the reason I think this movie is, like, the bomb diggity is because this one in particular is the most like a Resident Evil game, I think, out of all of them, including the live-action ones.
Okay, I can see that. It does have a big RE4 vibe, but that's because it's a sequel, basically, to that game.
Mm-hmm. All the graphics in it are beautiful. Everyone looks crisp and clean. No one looks like they've had 800 liposuctions done to their face.
That's a breath of fresh air.
Oh, it's beautiful. So the overarching plot of this one is that Leon is just a babe. He's the babe with the power. So do you know how in the last one we were like, why is everyone so horny for Leon?
Mm-hmm.
It's me. I'm horny for Leon.
Oh my god. It was you all along.
It was me all along. Surprise! Oh my goodness. Okay, so I'm trying to remember. I'm sorry. I was just so focused on Leon's face for most of it that I have to remember what the plot of the movie is.
It's about a civil unrest in a East European country.
A country that was originally part of the Soviet Union and is now no longer part of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, completely fictional country, but based in, I think, probably world events.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a revolution happening, and the government wants biological weapons so that they can control people and not have a revolution.
Yes. Well, we don't know that at first, but
no,
that's,
we don't.
That's the end of it. Mm-hmm. That's the long and short of it. Leon is there because I will say that I think part of the reason why this feels the most like a Resident Evil video game is they started out with, very similarly to how the live action movies start out with the My Name is Alice monologue, this started out with exposition, which most of these movies so far have not had any exposition. They just kind of throw you in there. Like in the last movie, how we didn't know who the main female protag was supposed to be until they said what her name was.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I appreciated it. At first, I thought I was watching a commercial because I wasn't expecting it and I wasn't ready for it. But Leon is there and he goes rogue because he gets there because they have confirmed that BOWs have been used in this war. And so he gets there, and then Huntington, who's essentially Leon's, like, handler from the game, she's in 4 and 6, minimally.
She's a phone lady.
Yes, she is phone lady. Her name is Hunnigan. I don't know why I remember these things. Yes, but her name is her name is Hunnigan, and she's Leon's handler, and she very much she's usually very cool. However, in this particular movie, she gets to be more like Ashley Graham and spends most of her like four lines going Leon.
Oh my god.
Leon. I don't know what it is with female characters and just having the need to like say his name in the most obnoxious way humanly possible.
Damn.
But he gets there and they're like, pull him back. And then so he's like,
what was his purpose? No, there you. Was he trying to what was he trying to do there? Why was he sent over?
So originally he was sent over, at least this is what I gathered, he was sent over because he is an expert in BOWs, and so they sent him over to kind of like assess the situation okay. and help dispatch them.
Then why did they try to pull him out?
Because the government as a whole pulled out.
Oh, okay.
The American government as a whole pulled out.
And he was like, fuck that, I'm gonna stay.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like him. He's also super sassy and talks to himself a lot in this one. He's very like, you know, witty comeback to himself,
right? It which is another reason why it makes me feel like it's the game very much, because most of the okay. time he's when he gives those comebacks he's talking to the player.
Oh yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And so the other huge point of why this one feels like a video game is they choose perfect strategic moments to pull the camera into first person, so you're like looking through their eyes as they're shining flashlights around and stuff, and that is such a cool, they don't do it very often, it's like three or four times throughout the movie, but it's so excellent in creating that dramatic tension for something that's supposed to be based on a video game.
That's something that I missed. I didn't notice that. That's interesting.
Oh really?
Yeah, I think I was so concerned with how similar he looked to the live action Leon that I was upset.
I mean, he does look pretty similar. He actually looks here, let me, I'm gonna shoot you a picture okay. of what Leon from RE6 looks like.
Yeah.
Because he looks like carbon copy to the point where I think that they probably just used his model.
That makes sense. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what he looks like in 6, and it seems to me like they pretty much just used that same model.
His hair is a little longer, I think. Like, just a smidge.
Well, right, but the point is that it's generally the same.
Yeah.
So he gets captured immediately in true Leon style. And he meets two brothers, question mark? Did we ever figure out how they were related?
I don't think they're related. I think they were just, like, comrades, you know, teammates in the revolution, in the...
Right. I just could never figure out if they were actually related or not, because they never actually say how they met. Right. Just that the one guy, JD, did not want to be a fighter in the revolution. He was just going along because his person of some sort of relationship to him had lost everything and was thus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one thing. I have mixed feelings about JD.
I also have mixed feelings about JD. JD is, he's very much into, like, American culture. Like, he wants to taste American food and fried food and American music. And Leon makes this little remark that's like, I thought you guys hated America. And JD goes, yeah, we do, but things from America, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, because he's a kind of annoying for most of it in the, like, a little kid way, but you get kind of attached to him at the end. But I mean, you know he's gonna die because he's a side character. Yeah. So you're like, 100%.
Okay, and then because Leon became attached to him immediately.
Yeah, so you're sad about it through Leon, and you're like, oh, I don't really want him to die now because he's kind of grown on me. But then he was still annoying when he died, so I'm like, I guess I don't feel that bad about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's rough. What is the other guy's name?
Buddy.
Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm sorry. I literally was sitting here thinking, what the fuck is that guy's name? I cannot remember.
I didn't figure out his name until the very end when they were, like, going against each other but still on the same, in the same, but I don't understand. Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the Lickers, and how when, I don't remember if he had a name, but the guy who was controlling the Lickers in the beginning, mm-hmm. came out. I see that you're on my document.
Yes, I am. And on you your see document.
Where I put all the smiley faces next to Licker? That was my face. And I want a pet Licker.
The Lickers are so cute. Okay, so I have an unpopular opinion. I actually really like the Lickers. I think they are really cool enemies.
Yeah, I agree.
They are particularly squishy in this particular piece of media. Mm-hmm. Like, they gush an unknown liquid. Yes. And that makes me slightly uncomfy.
They're also, it seemed to be easier to kill, because at no point does Leon have any flame rounds mm-hmm. to use to kill him. He's just using bullets, and we all know how hard that is to use against the Licker.
Mm-hmm. It is so very good whenever they play on the fact that the Lickers can't see anything. So if you stand completely still, you're totally fine. Those moments, I don't know what it is about those moments in horror games and or movies that always make my heart beat so fast.
It's good. It's very good.
Where the thing is like right in front of their face and then turns away. It's just, and you gotta like stealth
it. It's so good. The parking garage as a place of transit in zombie media, along the same vein of the last movie where the airport was is a popular destination for zombie movies, mm-hmm. and especially I noticed that place of transit, because it was reminding me of A Train to Busan, that zombie movie, and how that was mm-hmm. a train station, and then the airport, and then this is a parking garage, is another really popular place that I see a lot in zombie media, and how it has the same theme of a place of a transit and transition. I thought it was really interesting that is so prevalent in that kind of movie.
I wonder if it's because in medias like that, train stations, airports, parking garages, it's, you're not on the actual transportation itself. It's a place of like, I am here because I need to get here.
Yeah, it's like an escape, or it's supposedly a place of escaping a disaster, but most of the time that doesn't ever work out. So it's mm-hmm. this false hope that is represented as a setting in itself.
That's a great way to think about it. I hadn't thought about it as a way of false hope. I thought it more of as a way of, I was thinking more like a desperate escape.
That works too, yeah.
Yours is much more poetic.
I think a lot more in the case of the airport. A lot of the times your airplanes ain't working so good, so it's, you mm-hmm. can't really use it as it's meant, that space as it's meant to be used.
It just becomes a cage and you can't yeah. escape from it.
Exactly.
Parking garages especially. Mm-hmm. Resident Evil likes to play on underground parking lots.
Yes.
To where you have to be let out, mm-hmm. Which I think is a really cool concept for, yes, there are 800 cars here that you could use to escape, but it's not going to do any good if you can't get out.
Right, yeah, if you can't open the gate to get out.
Mm-hmm. It's so very good. I do appreciate that his code names. So Leon is originally going to find a contact, right, called the Scarecrow. Right. And he is the Tin Man, which is Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. It took me a second to realize that that's what he was doing, because the way we're introduced to that is Leon just screeching, Scarecrow, it's me, the Tin Man! Yeah. And I was like, wait, what? I didn't
catch on to that at first either.
So it took me a hot second to realize that that's what was going on there. The subplot for this is that someone in the Resistance has been given a serum that creates a, quote, master-slave relationship between a human and the BOWs, and so the buddy is the one that has been using that, unbeknownst to us at mm-hmm. this time.
Yeah, we do see one guy who is actively using it in the beginning when, who's the one who kidnaps Leon, and he just looks like a zombie, but he can, like, walk and talk and use weapons
mm-hmm.
and control Lickers.
Which is the best power on the planet, by the way.
On the planet.
Which also makes sense to me that the Lickers are the ones that are controllable instead of, like, the actual zombies.
Yeah.
Because they are literally all brain.
Yeah, they're just a brain and some bones.
I mean, aren't we all just a brain and some bones?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right.
I, too, have an 8-foot tongue.
And can crawl on the ceiling.
This movie is not a good movie from, like, a plot standpoint.
No.
But it's a great video game movie. Like, my criteria for video game movies at this point is just so low.
Yeah.
In comparison, my favorite live action movie was 3, because they focused so hard on story and togetherness and character development, which is something that I really appreciate. So I will always and forever, unless Vendetta is absolutely amazing, or yeah, for some reason one of the stage plays blows me away, I think that 3 will probably always be at the top of my list. But this one was good in the fact that if you wanted a movie that was basically just one really long Resident Evil cutscene, this is that movie.
That's a great way of describing it. Just one really long cutscene.
One really, really long cutscene. So we are eventually introduced to Ada Wong, who's
pretending to work for the BSAA. And we know she's not. Like, we as viewers are like, that's bullshit.
That's stupid. Especially because, like, she doesn't show any, like, identification or anything. She just walks into the president of this country's office and is like, hi, I am from the BSAA. Please listen to me. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay.
And it's funny because we know the BSAA are specialists against BOWs.
Mm-hmm.
But she's trying to sell one to the president of this country.
Yeah, it's really intriguing, because then we also know that she purposefully gives it to the resistance later.
Yes.
So it's a little bit strange. Oh, also, every time that they show her becoming on camera, she's wearing like a pencil skirt that goes to her knees. So they start at her knees and like pan up and make sure to like stop on where her vagina would be, and then continue to scroll up, and it's then kind of pause so on her boobs and then go up to her face. They it's do bad. It 4 times. I counted, oh my and God. I was so mad. The thing that makes me so upset about Ada and pretty much every piece of media she's in, she's a badass woman, and part of her being a badass woman is that she uses her sexuality to kind of get what she wants, which is fine. I'm all for that. I am against the way that they portray that sometimes.
Yeah, there's a difference between a character using their, you know, all the weapons in their arsenal effectively, and then just being fan service
mm-hmm.
for the viewers. Like, she can be sensual and use that against her enemies without it being like, here's her butt and boobs all the time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Even though she does have a very excellent butt and boobs. That is yes. not the point.
Yeah, but she's not trying to use it against us. We don't need to be subject to that.
Right, exactly. If you take this portrayal of her versus the portrayal of her in the RE2 remake, mm-hmm. let's say, because that's the most recent piece of media she's been in, for like games at least.
Mm-hmm.
She was still very sexy, very sensual, but it wasn't like shoved down your throat that she was sexy exactly, and sensual. Yeah. Her sensuality came from the way she used it to manipulate Leon, even if she really did care about him, which is up for debate by many fans, and that's a whole other podcast. Mm-hmm. But she used that to kind of manipulate him, which was great. That is a great portrayal of how you can use that particular power of femininity. Because yeah. boys are dumb and it's easy to do.
Men are dumb as shit, and you put a butt in front of them and they'll do whatever you want.
Precisely. Anyway, so she, to the point, she is trying to sell this device that she is giving to the resistance to the government. And we find out later that she is doing this to create enough discourse so that she can slip into a secret facility and steal the cultivated Las Plagas, which are the parasites from 4 mm-hmm. that are the cause of the zombies in this movie. Well, which are...
does this country have those? Like, how do they have this facility with them in it if they... It was a... I don't know.
Well, but here's the thing, though, is in 4, how much do you know about Resident Evil 4?
I have not seen any Resident Evil 4. I have seen the one scene of the laser room, and that's it.
That's because I shipped it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, I have played Resident Evil 4. I think my save file is at my 121st playthrough. I've played it a lot. And so it's a family favorite here in my home. And in Resident Evil 4, Ada is in that one too. And she is moving around, stealing things, doing samples. There are also other entities that are, you know, doing their business. In Resident Evil 4, she steals a sample and gives it to Wesker.
Okay.
In that one. So I wouldn't be surprised if she also did something. But there are also entities that are doing other things. Like, there is, oh, fuck, what is his name? Leon's war buddy. What the hell is his name?
I don't know.
Starts with a K. I want to say Kaiser, but I don't think that's right. I think it might be Kaiser. Hold on, I have to Google it or it's going to drive me fucking nuts.
Quick Google break. I guess I was under the impression that the, like in the previous games, Las Plagas was a production by Umbrella, but I guess that's not the case here.
No, Las Plagas is not a creation by Umbrella.
Hmm.
It is a, it was derived from a plant in Spain. No, wait. It was, no, 5 was derived from a plant. It was derived from, it was something that was cultivated in Spain. It was not cultivated by Umbrella.
Okay.
Las Plagas is one of the very few viruses and or, biological entities that is not created by Umbrella, but that Umbrella still uses to create other things.
Okay, so they're not all powerful, I see.
No, they are not all powerful. I believe because Las Plagas started out as a parasite that mutated.
Oh, okay. All right.
There's a whole bunch of lore.
I guess it makes more sense in that case that in the movie, in Damnation, Ada is trying to get at it.
Yes. Because
I was under the impression that Umbrella already had it and she was trying to get it for Umbrella. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
No. Yeah, they do not have it. As far as I can tell, Wesker has it, okay. I believe.
But Wesker does not always act in the best interests of Umbrella.
Exactly. I'm trying to think, what the hell is his name? It's gonna...
Carl with a K.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're
That's
welcome.
Definitely it.
His name is Krispy Kreme.
Krauser. That's what it is.
Krauser?
Jack Krauser.
Okay, that's the last War name. Man. I was gonna be like, what kind of a name is Krauser? But it's his last name. That makes more sense.
It's his last name, yeah. Where are we even in the story? I don't remember.
Ada's selling stuff to the president.
Ah, yes. And she's like, we'll think about it. And then they Google her, basically.
Yeah, and they're like, this is bullshit. We know you're working for Umbrella. And which is funny because they entertain her for a while with the knowledge that she is lying to their faces, but they still let her do her thing.
Oh, so there is the obligatory church scene where JD and Leon are in the church for some reason.
It's like their base of operations or something.
Something like that. They're in the church for some reason, and then the Lickers come in and they have to escape. So they, you know, do badass Licker evasion tactics. And then they get outside, and a bunch of Granados, which are the name of the zombies that are infected by Las Plagas. I don't know if that's canon to the movie, but in Resident Evil 4, that's what they were called.
I think they mentioned Granados.
And they, a bunch of these Granados track down one of the military government side soldiers, and they drag him away. And this is probably one of the grossest scenes in the movie, where a young adult girl vomits up, basically, a virus emerges from her throat. And then she pulls it out of her throat and then shoves it down the throat of the soldier.
That's it's true nasty shit.
Oh, it's so gross. It was one of those things where, since we've recorded the last one, I have gotten a dog since then, and she's very fluffy, so sometimes I don't have her wear her collar when she's just in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And she chose that moment to sneak into the room and jump on my lap, and it scared the crap out of me.
Aww.
And she did not understand why I was so scared, and it's...
I will say it wasn't... For a movie based on a quote-unquote horror game, it's not so much scary as it is just gross to see.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the other movies that we've seen so far of this franchise have not been nasty, but this movie in particular really doubled down on the nasty.
It did double down on the nasty. It took all of the live-action movies and Degeneration, and we're like, we're gonna do that, but gross.
Yeah, because even in Degeneration, there were some, scenes of disembowelment that they did not show explicitly, but that was, like, implied. But in this scene, they were just like, no, you're gonna see this guy eat a zombie bug, and it's gonna be bad, and you're not gonna like it.
They also make us watch a guy get his head crushed and exploded.
Yes.
And that was rough.
Mm-hmm. Which I guess is also another argument for why this is the most video game-y of the movies that we've seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
Because
they did not shy away from that
exactly.
At all.
Yeah. This one is an M-rated game.
Yeah. It was gnarly for sure. It's kind of in the rest of the movies, including the live action ones, have reminded me a lot of 5, where they're not quite as gross, but they are very action-y.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This one was just straight gross in a lot of places.
Yeah.
I just poked myself in the eyeball. That's fine.
Don't do that.
Well, I want to remove my body parts too.
No, don't do that.
So they are running around doing various zombie killing stunts. Nothing really super important happens for quite a while.
Buddy decides that he also needs the virus to control the other zombies. And JD's real sad about that. And he says he's not going to do it, and then he goes and does it. And then JD's like, he comes back, and JD's like, oh, you're still human. That's fine. But he's fully, like, infected with this thing, and it's going to kill him.
Yeah. He is defo not human. For sure. At some point, Ada and Leon run into each other because they must. And there's a saucy little line in there that left me scratching my head. They're pointing various guns at each other. And Ada goes, so, when can we pick up what we started, or when can we pick up what we started last time? And Leon goes, anytime but now. And I was like, wait, did they fuck in between
did
the game
fuck?
And the movie?
Oh, shit.
Did they fuck? Uh-oh. Because the only thing that I can think of that happened that was, like, saucy in the game in Resident Evil 4. Hello? Sorry, my dog is... I have a blanket over my head, so I can't see anything, and my dog is just wanting attention.
Let her join us. She could be on the podcast, too.
You're just going to hear a lot of sniffing because she doesn't really bark, so... I'm trying to... Where was I? The only thing that I could think of that happened that was really, like, saucy in the game was, like, she threw him the keys to a jet ski that had a little teddy bear, and he made, like, a cute remark. And then they were, like, flirting the whole game, but, like, in between... Because this is very clearly set after 4.
Yes.
Very clearly set after 4. So, either they fucked in the game somewhere and I just hadn't unlocked that cutscene, or, like, they fucked somewhere else. They fucking.
I mean, they did a smooch in RE2. That's about it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they had also seen each other since then, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's possible. Listen, I guess let them have their private lives.
No, not allowed.
And they can be...
Fictional characters are not allowed to have private lives.
Enemies with benefits, I guess.
Yeah. So eventually they separate because, surprise, Ada's gun was not a gun, but it was her grappling hook. Which, by the way, say what you want about Ada, but girl can make an entrance and or an exit.
I agree.
It's very good. So she goes back to the president lady, and the president lady is like, I know who you are. And then they draw guns and they fight. And it's, I hated this fight scene so much.
Bad. It was bad. And it was very fanservice-y. Like their clothing was torn in very specific spots. That was like,
just Ada's.
Very revealing. And like, just their fighting style was very meant to show off their bodies and not their, you know, combat. Mm-hmm. And I made a note in my notes for this one where the difference in badassery between like Jill and Claire and their fighting styles versus the quote unquote badassery of Ada versus the president lady is that the purpose of the fight is not for any sort of plot or display of power. It's all for fan service.
Right.
It's all like, to show off the boob and the butt.
In my notes, I have a moment of, there is a point during that fight where Ada throws her gun and does a flip, but we're in an overhead bird's eye view.
Mm-hmm.
So we see the gun and we see her legs come apart to do the flip.
Mm-hmm.
And the gun is very specifically placed so that you are both looking at her coochie and there is also nothing to see.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, is that really necessary? The worst part of that is that there wasn't even a winner. They just were kind of like, yeah, I think that's enough. I think we're done.
Yeah, exactly. There was no point to the whole thing. Except that there is a point, and the point was that it's bad.
Yes, the point is that people are too horny.
I almost wish they were horny for Leon in this one, too. If only to draw attention from
away
the horniness.
Away from Ada's butt.
Yeah, to draw attention away from Ada and the present lady. Specifically Ada, though.
Mm-hmm. I understand that part of Ada's character is that she is sexy and that she is alluring. I understand that that's part of who she is as a character. Mm-hmm. But kind of like we said before, there's a point where that stops becoming part of the character and just starts becoming like you might as well be watching porn.
Exactly,
like what?
Yeah. It's not necessary, and it makes it a worse movie to have it in there. Like, I think maybe that's why this movie is so low on my list, is because of all that fan service. It just rubs me the wrong way. It's not enjoyable for me.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as a, like, yes, I love the Resident Evil franchise, and this is the most, like, a Resident Evil game. That does not mean it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of what makes Resident Evil games good is that you're in it, right? Is mm-hmm. that you have control over it. And this one I just kind of felt gross while watching. Mm-hmm. Between the, like, amount of fan service and then the, like, way that the things were set up so that you were kind of caught in slow motion the whole time.
Yeah.
So there's a secret elevator and Ada gets trapped because she literally cannot be in any sort of movie or franchise or piece of media ever without being trapped, so she can either free herself or be freed because, you know, she's sexy, but not too sexy to be a damsel in distress.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
And they also use this moment to completely over-sexualize her. So she has a knife in her boot, or in her heel.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of, like, having her crunch her legs up so that she can get at the knife better, she does an incredible display of ab strength and just, like, takes her legs completely straight and then just lifts them all the way up to her fucking face.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
To get the knife, and we're focused on her butt for 90% of that. And it's like, can we not maybe?
The answer is no. They told us no.
They could have. There are so many ways they could have done that same exact concept without making me look at her butt for 90% of that.
Mm-hmm. Ah, jeez. I don't really remember what happens immediately after that, but I do know that they get to the facility where Las Plagas is, where
the samples are. It's the beat. We're back to the hive, baby.
Back to the hive. It always ends up back to the hive. We can't escape.
We can't escape.
We're trapped here. Somebody help us.
We're all going to die down here.
Yeah.
But so they, like, nothing super important happens here except they, you know, Ada's doing spy things and Leon is also there. And then the president shows up and then they shoot at people. And then the lickers get released.
And also Buddy is there. For some
yes,
of it.
Buddy is there for like the last half of it, and he uses his newfound liquor powers. That sounds dirty when I say it like that. Maybe I shouldn't say it like that.
It's funny though. I will say though that with the way I don't know why I thought this, but the way that the president was acting after the confrontation with Ada, I was so sure that she had like this advanced version of the leader plague. And was going to use it to control a bunch of the zombies, but she never did, and I was really disappointed. For some reason, I was so convinced that that was going to happen.
I was convinced that we were going to learn that her, like, two servants were zombies that she was controlling.
Yeah, something or that, like that, yeah.
They keep mentioning this, like, council of elders that she's supposed to consult, and I was so expecting them to be like, ah, they've all been infected, and I am controlling them so I can do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I thought it was going. It was not going anywhere. She really is not of any importance whatsoever. They don't even fight her at any point.
No,
Besides the fight with...
Like, totally gets away with whatever she was doing.
Yeah, she actually resigns. They do not arrest her or anything. She just resigns from being president.
Yeah, she faces but that's no other consequences.
That's at the very end of the movie, though. Yeah. I'm trying to think... Oh! When Ada and the president are fighting, Ada says a line that makes no goddamn sense whatsoever, and I have no idea what she's talking about, where Ada says, ah, so the rumors of you being a trainer are true.
What?
She goes, the rumors of you being a trainer were true, and she goes, were true, I am a trainer. I have no idea what the fuck that means. Is that supposed to imply that this president lady and Ada trained at the same secret government camp or something?
Maybe? I don't understand what's going on.
That whole
sequence makes zero sense anyway, I mean, at least they're consistent.
I don't understand. Is it consistency if you just don't understand what's happening the whole movie? I guess
it's better to expect the confusion than to just be, you know, slapped in the face with it.
I mean, I guess that's true. I mean, I guess it is a fictional game series about viruses and such, but I mean, oh, here's what it is. Maybe they knew each other on a molecular level.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get over that. I'm so mad.
It's so funny to me that it has stuck with you.
I'm so pissed about it.
Oh, I love it.
I'm going to get that on a t-shirt. I know this at a molecular level. Oh, please.
I'm going to send it to you for Christmas. I'm going to get you booty shorts with that on the ass.
Please. I will wear... Look, I am a chubbier lady, but I will absolutely wear booty shorts that say... Yes, please. I will absolutely do that. It's just... So there's basically no consequences. They're fighting lickers. And then the best part of the movie happens where the librarians are released.
The librarians.
There's or four of them, and they're so excellent. And could you please read verbatim your note? Please.
Oh, you're going to shame me. You're going to shame me on our podcast.
It's not shame. It's just such an excellent note.
Okay.
You have to read it with all the question marks, too, please.
Okay. Excuse me? Mr. X, how are you here? Where's your little hat? Why are you, like, 12 feet tall? Oh, God, there's more of them.
And then it's just, like, 800 question
marks.
There's
so many question marks. Because those were the exact thoughts that ran through my head when Mr. X comes out of a little capsule and he's fucking giant and he has no hat.
I know. I was also confused. I was like, why doesn't he have a hat? Where's his hat?
Wasn't that hat an addition also to the remake?
I don't know, but it's an excellent hat. And
yes, it's very good.
He needs it.
He has his like coat and everything, and he does the same punch animation. It's like nearly identical, but he just doesn't have a little hat.
It's also, he also runs in this movie, and I don't like that.
It's bad. Running it's Mr. X is very bad.
It's very bad. I also literally forgot what his name was because I kept calling him the librarian. And I literally had a moment when they released three or four of them when I was like, there's so many overdue books. And I'm upset with myself that that was the first thought that I had.
I'm so proud of you. That's so good.
You have tainted me, and I hope you're pleased.
Claire, you need to return your copy of 101 Magic Tricks.
I don't have it. And then, this was the point of the movie where I think I realized that Leon has not really done much of anything.
He really didn't do any. He's just there observing everybody else. Like, he shoots a few zombies, sure, but, like, he's not done much of anything. Like, the only person who really did anything significant in the plot itself was Buddy, and he wasn't in the movie for most of it.
Well, and Ada, who's there, like, hacking shit and stuff. Yes. But he's kind of there as, like, a casual observer. He might as well just have a pen and paper and just be kind of, like, writing shit down.
Like, some sort of, like, a journalist that, like, a field journalist or whatever that's called.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Especially, like, Leon, why did you go rogue from the U.S. government to do this?
To do nothing. Like, you didn't do anything, dude.
What is that about? Hold on, I just saw that note. There's a note in Inthea's notes that are, the new Megamind movie looks great. Please explain to me what that note is about.
When the, like, when they go out into the daylight with the tyrants, their skin kind of looks blue and they have a really big head. So it looks a little bit, like, reminiscent of Megamind.
I guess it does. And then there's a fight scene where Leon does nothing but get his ass kicked and then Buddy does all the work.
Yep, to be expected.
And then Leon is saved by the U.S. government. Leon does not kill a Mr. X, period.
No,
like,
yeah.
Like, he shoots...
He, like, almost dies, and then, like, a helicopter explodes a tyrant.
It's a fighter jet.
Yeah.
I thought that the whole point of that was gonna be that Ada was in the jet.
That would have been cool.
That's because that's where I thought that was going, because she has a habit of showing up at just the right time to provide the weapon, because in RE4, she's the one that gives the signature rocket launcher to finish off, right? So that's where I thought that was going, was like, ah, yes, she is in the plane.
That would have been good.
But no, it was just the U.S. government here to fuck up a foreign country, as usual.
Yeah, that's, even though they pulled out, and the reason Leon was there, because they wouldn't give support, and Leon was like, okay, fuck that, I'm gonna stay. And then they come back? Like, hello?
So, the way they explain it, I believe, is that the intel from Scarecrow told them that they knew about all this, so that they pulled everybody out and then rushed to go work with the Russians, which, by the way, the Russians are also there, so it is the U.S. doing air support and then the Russians on the ground.
Okay.
Which, by the way, would never fucking happen. No world would the U.S. and the Russians work together to invade a country.
No. I mean, unless they both had a really big stake in it.
It wouldn't happen. It just, that was the most unrealistic part of this whole damn movie.
Yeah.
The only thing that, of any sort of value that Leon has done is that when he's getting his ass kicked by Tyrant, as per usual, Buddy sicks a bunch of liquors on him and then runs the fuck into him with a tank, and then Leon jumps in the gunner compartment and is just smacking the gun against his face.
It's very good. I love that.
It's very good. Leon is very pretty, but that's, in this movie in particular, he's just like, he's kind of like those hard taffies, right? Not the saltwater ones, but the ones that are like hard, where they're great to look at. But you don't want to you don't want them in you. Like, they hurt you when they're inside of you. I just realized how awful that analogy was.
Just now?
As it was leaving my mouth, I was like, Maybe that's a bad way to phrase that, but I don't have another analogy.
Interesting.
Look, don't put Leon inside of you. He will hurt you.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
It's, yeah, so Matthew Mercer does the voice for Leon in this one. He does it in 4, I believe, too.
I think somebody else does 4. He does it in,
I know he does Leon in a couple of things.
Yeah, RE6, not 4. 4 is a different guy. I remember looking this up because I was like, Matthew Mercer? Because Laura Bailey was in the last movie. So I'm like,
they just got the whole cast of Critical Role. And
yeah,
like,
all of Critical Role is in there for some reason. I love
for
that.
For some reason. But this was also before Critical Role was a thing, right?
I don't know. I don't know. I think Critical Role has been out for a really long time.
When did this movie in particular come out?
They've been playing D&D for a really long time together, but I don't know how long they've been streaming their D&D sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they were already friends, I think, when this movie came out. Because Laura Bailey is Helena in RE6.
Right, and it's very good. She's very good.
She's very talented. Good
in that one. Also, I just realized this movie has a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way.
Wait, really?
Yes, it does.
Whoa.
It has a 6.5 on IMDb, but 100% Rotten Tomatoes score.
Rotten Tomatoes, why do you love this so much?
I don't know. Hold on, let me find out if that's from critics or fans.
Yeah, I've never seen like over 40 on a Rotten Tomatoes for a Resident Evil movie. That's not true. I haven't really looked at Rotten Tomatoes reviews. That was okay. I'm looking at the wiki.
It has a 70% audience score, which is still higher than I was.
It's still pretty high, yeah.
That's higher than I was expecting.
At the time, it has been named the best Resident Evil film to date.
Which makes sense.
Which makes sense. It's 2013.
So, nothing of super importance happens in this movie. The very end of it wraps up with Leon explaining why the U.S. government pulled out and left him there. And Hunnigan makes this weird remark where she thinks she's going to quit because he thinks the government lied.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes, you know, nothing really has changed, and that's a man who knows what it's like to work for the U.S. government.
Yeah, for sure.
So, not a super ton of interesting things happened in this movie.
No.
I will give it praise on a couple of points. For a movie that is supposed to be based on a video game, this was great.
Comparatively to the ones we saw, yeah, I will say yes. That this one is pretty entertaining.
This is the one that if you went, okay, I have RE4, which is a game that did absolutely incredible, and it did amazing and everybody loved it, I'm going to take that and then do the sequel as a movie. And they did that, and it was they did that pretty well. There are visually moments that are stunning. The graphics in this movie are stunning. The effects, stunning. The story and the plot are garbo.
Yeah, subpar.
The way they handled things, I get that they only had so long to do certain things, but this movie is like an hour and 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's up there in time. It's hard to say where I would put this in my ranking, to be honest with you. I'm not entirely sure, because as a Resident Evil movie, this is a movie that is about Resident Evil and has Resident Evil vibes and feels very much like it is in Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's great, but as a movie, as a piece of media that needs to be able to stand on its own to be a movie, it's bad.
Yeah, I think that's where, because I don't have much at all experience with Resident Evil 4, so I'm not as familiar with what that feels like. So maybe that's why it it lands so flat for me is because I'm looking at it as a movie on its own. Well, not on its own. I'm still familiar with the franchise, but you know what I mean.
No, yeah, I definitely know what you mean. I definitely don't think it's going to be above 3, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely not going in the top spot. I don't think it's above the fan dub, because the fan dub has now seared certain jokes into my mind.
I'm so glad.
I literally can't escape them. How dare.
I'm so glad.
Now, here's the question. Is it better than the last animated one?
I would say no. And I think that it mostly goes...
Because Claire was in the last one?
Because Claire, and also because the last one was not nearly as fan service-y and so explicit in its shoving the sexuality of the women in it down your throat.
Mm-hmm. As much as Angela wanted to just pucker up and smooch all the time, mm-hmm. that was the most sexual thing about her.
Exactly.
And I would have been okay with it if they would have handled Ada a little bit better. So here's what I'm going to do. I think it's definitely above 4. I think it's definitely above all the other live action ones. So I'm going to put it, this one's what, Damnation?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put it in between Degeneration and 4.
Okay.
So my new ranking is RE3, the fan dub, RE1, Degeneration, and then Damnation. Now, Vendetta, I believe, is the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard absolutely incredible things about Vendetta.
Me too. Because it's gotten high praise. I don't want to set my expectations too high, though.
Because same.
Of the reputation of the other movies. But
mm-hmm.
so far, the animated ones have been leagues and bounds better than the live actions.
Yes. And as unexplainable as some elements of them are, they are still, as a whole, more understandable than the live-action
mm-hmm.
ones.
Mm-hmm, for sure. My ranking also puts Damnation just below Degeneration, with the first movie being the top, third movie down, and then Degeneration and Damnation under that. So I do agree that, as a whole, the live-actions do miss that mark, because so many of them are just not great quality, but the ones that do well hit way high on the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, for sure. I have high hopes for Vendetta, but my high hope bar for these movies in particular is on the floor, so it's not particularly hard to do that,
mm-hmm.
But I have good feelings, because whenever you put Chris and Leon in a room together, it's gonna be great. I do believe this is also the first time we're going to see Chris in these animated ones.
I believe so, yeah.
And I'm going to exclude the, like, 15 minutes of the live-action ones that Chris was in.
Because that was not Chris.
I've recently learned of a phenomenon called the sexy lamp test. Have you heard of this?
Yes, I know the sexy lamp test.
Yes. For those of you who don't know, I recently learned about this, where if you can take a character... I'm going to generalize to character, but more often than not, it's female characters.
Mm-hmm.
If you can take that character and replace them with a sexy lamp, and the movie and the plot is more or less the same, then that's not a good character and you don't need them in your movie.
Yeah. Oh, wait, are you saying that Chris doesn't pass the sexy lamp test?
Yes, I am saying that Chris does not pass the sexy lamp test.
I love that.
What would be different if he was not in those movies? Can you tell me? Because I can't think of anything.
It would not change, because Claire doesn't remember him for most of it anyways.
Mm-hmm. And they never have a moment of being related, ever.
No, yeah. Hmm.
Anyway, this movie was hit or miss depending on how you look at it,
mm-hmm.
what criteria you're using to grade it, I guess.
Yeah.
As opposed to some of the live action ones, which are just miss, period.
Yes, for sure.
So we have Vendetta is next, and I think we're coming close to being... Okay, so we have Vendetta, Year Zero, and then some stage plays, but we'll see how those
go. Year Zero is one of the stage plays. It's the first one that's not technically affiliated with Capcom. The other ones are. I don't think I'm going to find most of them because they were either like Japan exclusive or they're you're going to have to pay a pretty
exorbitant
dollar for
amounts
these.
Of money.
Yeah. So I will try my best, but I cannot guarantee that we will be watching the stage plays.
Mm-hmm. But we will try our best. I really hope we can find Biohazard the Musical. Please. I really hope we can find that one. But the next one may wrap up our Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. And then I believe after that, do we want to say what we have planned for after that?
Well, we've said it before that we're moving on to Silent Hill after Resident Evil. And I'm really excited because it's the first actual horror movie in our list.
No.
It's genuinely terrifying, and mostly in the same vein as, like grotesquity. That's not a word. Grotesqueness of it is very prevalent. But it's, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Guys, I'm a weenie, okay? Like, Resident Evil 2002, the first live-action movie, was probably the scariest movie I've watched up to this point.
That's so funny to me.
Oh, I'm such a... Guys, I'm a weenie.
I'm going to turn you into a brave horror movie watcher by the end of this podcast.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
For reference, I got a VR system recently, and we already had Resident Evil 7. And I put that headset on my head, and I got scared by the menu to start the game and did not start the game because I was too scared by the menu.
Did you ever play any more?
I have not attempted to play more of it in VR because I literally had to have my boyfriend hug me for like 10 minutes because I was so freaked out by the menu. Guys, I'm such a weenie. I pretend to be brave. Okay, so do we want to wrap up?
Yeah. Thanks for listening to another episode of Biohazard the Report. Tune in next time for Resident Evil Vendetta. We're very excited about it. You can find us at our Twitter, at Biohazard Report, or through our Gmail, biohazardreport@gmail.com, for communication. Leave us a rating, leave us a tweet.
Hit us up in general.
Hit us over the head with a comment.
That we will lovingly caress.
Yeah, yeah. And remember, we're all gonna die down here. Thank you.